I welcome you to the recording of the worship service for Lansdale United Methodist Church for Sunday, April 26th, the third Sunday in Easter. I welcome you to this time together with some soulful music to lead us through a time of worship together. With more than 50,000 Americans having succumbed to the novel coronavirus COVID-19, there is so much on our minds that is sad and that fills us with grief and loss. We should perhaps recall that we are still in that season of the year that began in grief and loss and ended in a time of triumph and victory. It took patience and perseverance and forbearance, but there was a new day and there was a new beginning, as there will be for us together. So I invite you to open your hearts and your minds to a time of worship and praise. Hear now the call to worship for this third Sunday in the season of Easter. Hold your hands high, Christ is alive. Death is no longer your end. In Christ there is a new life for one and all. All that is broken is made whole again. Hold your hands high, Christ is alive. From Palm Sunday's hosannas to a Good Friday's laments, from passing through sorrow, through death, to life and joy, we are in the joy of Easter. We know that joy and sorrow, life and death, are bound together. By the power of God, the cross is powerless. The tomb could not hold him. Hold your hands high. Christ is alive. God's healing is making its way. God's healing is where truth and justice triumph over evil and oppression. God Most High calls one and all out of death and into a new life. Rejoice! Life bursts through death. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. Alleluia. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, our risen Savior, when your friends were afraid, gathered behind closed, locked doors, you came and stood among them. You came to stand beside them. You said, "Peace be with you." You offered them a way to hope by showing your hands and your side, your presence and the Spirit brought them joy. Risen Christ, come to us. Stand beside us. If we are afraid, calm us. If we are tired, bring us rest. If we are fearful, inspire our courage. Breathe your Spirit upon us and show us new ways to live and serve. Set us to learning what hope means in these troubled times. Be the source of our peace, our joy, and our everlasting life. Alleluia. Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. Hear the word of the Lord. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And so it was. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together God called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the third day. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. Listen, that you may hear the good news of God. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the people, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." The Gospel of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Creation was much in the news this week. The 50th anniversary of Earth Day brought reflections on the current status of the environment during the novel coronavirus stay-at-home protocols observed around the planet. The northern state of Punjab is stunned to see the tops of the Himalayas for the first time in 3 decades. Large jellyfish are swimming in the canals of Venice. And in Llandudno, Wales, wild goats have taken over the town. Here in America, air quality has improved around the country. Even LA is smog-free for the time being. Yes, creation has been much in the news this week, and creation will be before us in our time now together. On the third day of creation marks a striking change in the language of the creation story in Genesis 1. Now God, sun, and the land join in the creative process. Plants and trees can reproduce by the sun's power and the land's nutrients. It's from the land that God will create humanity. Out of the dust you came, and to the dust you shall return. 2 original creative works of God occurred on the third day. The gathering of the waters that were divided on the second day, and the creation of plants for food. I hear hints of the third person of the Trinity's creative work, the Holy Spirit, which are found on the third day of creation. Taking gathering of the waters as a symbol, we see an image of the Holy Spirit gathering all believers in all nations, as multitudes of people into one body, nourishing us with living water and food until, quote, "we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect human, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ," unquote, as the letter to the Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 13. A sort of ministry began on the third day of creation, a ministry of nourishing, of raising, of weaning, and of perfecting human beings until we become ourselves like trees bearing fruit to God. Fruition's themes, which relate to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, use words similar to the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It's the Holy Spirit's first work to bring completion to all things in heaven and on earth by immediately acting upon creation, and in the creation, most notably, upon human beings. Just as the Holy Spirit is the third person who completes the Trinity, so the Spirit's work is the completion of God's contact with all creation and all creatures. The Holy Spirit brings the consummation of the work of God in every sphere of life to a completion. The Spirit's work follows the Son's work, just as the Son's work follows the Father's work. When read carefully and dispassionately, the creation story is God's drama of speaking lovingly to the formless void, that abyss of aching estrangement, to bring order from a cacophony of notes into a glorious symphony of joyous music. God is composer, conductor, and musician in a triunity of divine grace and love. The first, the second, and on the third days are a divine method of divide and conquer. There is a separation of light and dark, a separation of the dome above and the surface water below, and on the third day God separates the waters from the land. The third day slips by us if we're not careful. The separation of the waters and the land takes 5 verses to describe. On the third day of creation is the most dramatic shift. By dividing and conquering the waters and the land, God opens the way for all life on earth to come into being. At its simplest, the appearance of the land is an invitation to creation itself to create with God. The separation of the waters and the land is an invitation to live, to die, and to live again. This is the cycle of life, death, and rebirth. It's right there, in the creation of plants that leave behind, after their deaths, the seeds necessary to carry on with life. It's right there, in the land itself, is the matter from which God will create human beings, and all beings, who live and move and breathe in God's image, and contain within themselves life and death, and the seed to carry on with life in our children and our children's children. This, the hump day of creation, on the third day, the let there be came in to lead to the ultimate moment on the sixth day when God said, "Let us make." The symbolic language of on the third day is a powerful trigger mechanism in Bible stories that bear dynamic witness to God the Creator intervening in the nick of time to bring resolution to trying, stressful, overwhelming, desperate situations, turning mourning into dancing, turning disease into health, turning chaos into order, turning nothing into something, turning seeds into plants, turning plants into fruit, turning fruit into food, turning food into energy, turning energy into action, and then turning action into creativity, and turning creativity into life, turning life into death, and finally transforming death into new life. This is a marvelous expression of the Easter season. When the first couple, Adam and Eve, appear in the story, their creation is in God's image, which means to live as God's image in the world. As Jesus' Easter people, we do well to spend these great 50 days of Easter contemplating how we are co-creators with God, co-interveners with God, and co-representatives with God in the world we live in. God's creation is meant to go somewhere. The potential of becoming is built into the very structure of things. Creation isn't presented as a finished product, seeking preservation as the original creation. No, God creates a dynamic world where the future is open to endless creations, endless possibilities, and where our creative activity is crucial for the creation of developing into God's desired ends or the purposes for it. Christian people can't rest back, assuming that God will take care of everything or that the future of creation is solely in God's hands. They're not, as we are now so painfully aware. Christian people can't go back to passive engagement with the earth. Christian people need genuine engagement with nature. And when we do, when we have it, significant implications for the future of the creation itself will come clearly in view. On the third day of creation, God's gifts of identity and communion connect us to the grandest of all the on-the-third-day stories of the Bible, to the Easter story, and the Easter people created in the afterglow of Jesus' resurrection. Now, John 20, verses 19 to 23, may be a moment of aha. The gospel reading was the account of Easter evening, when there was morning and there was evening on the third day. This night, in John's account, is his version of Pentecost, unhitched from its traditional location at the end of 50 days from Passover. John brings to a conclusion an expectation set out in his first chapter with the words, "In the beginning," just as those same words open the book of Genesis. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The account opens in John with fear in the air. Just as many of us are greeting each new day during the pandemic with a modicum of fear about our lives, so the disciples were gathered together and they were filled with fear. Jesus eases the fear when he arrives and offers, "Peace be with you," the peace that embraces and gives the apostles an innermost solace, a promise that a new day brings new hopes and new confidence to strive for such peace in our daily living. Then, quite unexpectedly, Jesus breathes out peace upon the apostles, just as the Maker did in Genesis, by transferring the spirit of life into the dirt that was molded into the first human people, an entirely new creation of emerging in the world began on the evening of the third day, when Christ exhales a power on the apostles. He breathed, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." What does that mean? Probably not what I suspect you might be thinking. Christians aren't mini-me Jesus people running around forgiving people or condemning people for their moral failing, although you will find many Christians who seem to think that that's what Christianity is all about. But that is not what the faith is about. In John's Gospel, sin has very little to do with morality. In John's Gospel, sin is a failure. Sin is a precise failure. Sin is a failure to see God in Jesus, being sent by God and being in his mission. Sin is a failure to be released from living as though God doesn't matter to you. That is why we fall into sin. We forget that God matters, and God matters to us. It's the Spirit who acts to set people free from the fear that God is somehow fake news or a giant hoax cooked up by some nefarious people who want to control other people. No, the risen Christ. sent out the apostles to venture into the world with eye-opening, heart-opening, soul-releasing detangling from the sin of not seeing God's fullness in Christ. A failure to bear witness to this Easter joy is a failure to help others live in the glorious celebration of new life, new creation, new hope, and new intervention that awaits a frightening world. To receive the Holy Spirit is to win the risen Christ and the joy of knowing God and bringing light through light's cracks into a dark and shadowy world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll admit it's been rather strange these last few weeks to be conducting worship, even though live streaming, with six other people from our congregation and looking out into the empty sanctuary. It's an unfamiliar feeling for me to be preaching and not seeing the eyes and the facial expressions of people, and to be calling people to hymns and singing and fellowship and communion and baptism. I too long for the days when this will end and we will all be able to safely gather again together. I'm grateful to the many of you who have been giving generously to our church during this difficult time. We entered the year already under an expectation of financial difficulty, and of course the novel coronavirus has set us back. But there have been so many of you who have been giving and giving generously. And you've been giving of your prayers and of your good thoughts and good wishes for all. And for that we are grateful. So I remind you to keep up with your giving if you can. If you can, offer your prayers, of course, for others. And keep your hearts open to what God is seeking to teach us during these uncertain days. Let us pray. God of love and new life, in these days of Easter, when the joys of Christ's resurrection are tempered with sadness, isolation, and separation, lead us into a fervent hope through the unity which is your very essence. If we are lonely, give us confidence that in Christ we are never alone. If we are isolated, remind us that in the universal body of Christ we are always connected. If we are unemployed or feel useless, inspire us to simple actions that make differences in people's lives. If we feel overwhelmed, offer us shade and calm through moments of prayer and stillness. If we need companionship, help us to feel the warmth of your loving embrace. And as we keep our physical distance from others, let us draw close to one another within the spirit of companionship that flows from you and through each one of us. Amen. I pray that you have a good, healthy, safe week upcoming. We do not yet know when we will be returning for in-person worship in our beautiful sanctuary on North Broad Street in Lansdale. I have brought the leaders of our congregation together to begin to at least plan for what a return to the building and then to worship and then to small groups and then to children and youth, how we will protocol our way and process our way into a return. We are making this protocol plan, looking vigilantly at all directives that come from the Commonwealth and from our annual conference and from the CDC. Nothing will be done precipitously. All will be done timely and safely. I solicit your prayers for the leaders of your church and for me as we begin to make those plans. In the meantime, may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you until we see each other again. And may peace be with you, and may all goodness attend your way. Amen.